Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J, 929 FM ESPN. Hopefully it's a smooth hump day. October 18th for you so far. Going to be smooth around here. Grizzlies back at it tonight versus the Boston Celtics. Yes, yes, yes. Hoping to brush ourselves off from that first preseason loss to the Detroit Pistons. Of course, this will be a Jason Tatumless Celtics team. Excited to see what the Grizzlies and Cedric Coward and those that can play will look like tonight. Make sure you're locked in here at 6:30. Starting at 6:30, pregame begins here live at 6:30 on 92.9 FM ESPN. And, of course, tip-off at 7. Great Jessica Benson will guide you there during pregame at 6:30. So, again, we did a good job, I think, John, not overreacting yesterday to the Grizzlies' preseason loss to Detroit. We'll see how we're feeling after tonight's game against the Celtics. Penny Hardaway had some things to say yesterday at his media availability that we did not get to, particularly as it relates to a Tigers attendance. We talked a lot about some of the other things he said, but did not get a chance to address that. And here's the thing. Very, very cool piece over at the Athletic. I suggest you go read it. We know Memphis Tigers football is 6-0. They're on a bye week. This story over at the Athletic is about the coaching tree at Memphis that began in 2017 with Mike Norvell, includes Oregon coach Dan Lanning, Arizona State coach Kenny Dillingham, and Memphis head coach Ryan Silverfield. You know the thing about all those guys? As this piece points out from Chris Benini, they're all ranked in the top 25 as head coaches. All came from Mike Norvell's coaching tree. Some really cool stuff from Chris Benini in terms of he talked to the coaches themselves. It's the front page story on the college football page over at The Athletic. This is what happens when you are maximizing the power of your brand. And that is what Memphis Tigers football is doing right now.
Yeah, absolutely right. By the way, I would add that there is he's not ranked, but Pete Limbo is the head coach of Buffalo and has done a pretty good job at that program. Not an easy place to win, but that's just another head coach, you know, that was here under Mike Norvell.
Limbo.
So again, clearly doesn't get the love from you or Chris Vanini. But I want to make sure that I gave him some love because his special teams unit when he was here was fantastic.
It was.
So it was.
Great job by you.
I think he was here under Silverfield for who gets credit for that?
Yeah,
one?
I was going to say Limbo. I just checked, not mentioned in this story. I guess they could have. What I'm thinking. Is he Silverfield early?
He was 19. He got here in 19, and then he was here for 20. So
well, if he was 19.
Two coaches, though. Yeah. So I guess Norvell hired him.
Technically, Norvell hired him.
Silverfield retained him.
It would be coaching tree as a head coach now.
Yeah, so we don't need to be ashamed of Pete Limbo.
Nobody's ashamed. The story's about how all these guys are ranked now as head coaches.
No, that's definitely.
Your man is right out. He's got his chance. You know, every single year, it's going to be tough for him. But what a coaching tree.
Mike Norvell did a hellacious job putting that staff together, man. There is no doubt about that. Don't forget. Daryl Dickey, the great Daryl Dickey, was on that staff.
Yeah.
All right. Love Daryl Dickey.
Well, he didn't grow from Norvell, though. I mean, he was his own thing.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
But great stuff there in The Athletic on that 2017 Memphis football staff. We have a lot to get to on the show today. Norton Hurt IV is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about, you know, some things going on in the city. And maybe a little bit of what we're about to touch on, which is attendance at Memphis basketball games. People are fired up about this. People are really fired up about this topic. So we'll talk about it a little bit in just a moment. So Norton Hurd IV is going to join us at 11:25. Then Rob Dosser from Field of 68 is going to join us at 1:25. They are going to be in Birmingham for American Media Day.
All right.
Don't worry. I will be here doing the show. I will not be going down to Birmingham. As you know, I would just as soon light myself on fire in front of the venue of American Media Day than actually do it.
Mm.
Because, you know, how – I was thinking about this yesterday. Jeff Goodman sitting there, he's doing ACC Media Day, right? And this is just one area, Jason, where I'm not good at. I hold my hand up. I couldn't go to Charlotte and sit next to Hubert Davis and yuck it up with him, knowing that he's a dog crap coach, man. Yuck it up in October, head rolling by February. Can't do it, man. Can't do it. That's okay. That's the function of Media Day, though. You got to be all, you know.
Professional's the word.
And, yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be professional.
Get it.
You know, if I go to the American Media Day, I want to talk about why this league sucks, you know, and why it's not better than Memphis and nobody else.
Well, because a lot of their schools don't care about basketball.
And that's exactly right. And there's no easy way for Tim Pernetti to say that, but it's true. He's got a lot to be proud of in football. Because why? The schools care about football.
There's been an investment
and
that's different on that side.
That's right. And it has not accompanied basketball. But right. Rob will be there. We'll talk to him about Memphis, the NCAA tournament, expansion, you know, his theories, all that.
Big question there. I guess I'll give it to – can a second team make the tournament?
From the American?
Yeah.
Yeah, no chance.
Exactly. Okay. Okay.
I mean, unless like
grand
you know,
opening, grand closing. Now that media day's over, right there.
I won't say no chance.
Memphis. Who's next? I mean, who else? Anybody else coming? That's what would the question
right.
would be for me. If
that's right.
American. And am I going to get shunned if I say AAC basketball media
yes,
days?
You will.
I'm sorry, I can't come. I won't be available either.
They got in trouble because they were trying to
American.
My social media guy for Field of 68. It's no. They don't want the. In front of American Conference.
Now they're getting ridiculous with it now.
Yeah,
dude.
Pernetti does not want it to be called the American. He wants it to be called American Conference.
I'm so sick of Soar and Pernetti at this point with all these rules about what we call.
That's right.
This garbage basketball conference.
That's right.
Football, good.
Football is good. Whatever you call this thing.
But y'all about to have basketball media days. That's
yes, basketball.
After the Memphis question, it's gonna get tough.
I mean, you got Hotch in there, new job, you know, the hot new thing in Tampa.
We're praying and hoping.
I guess. I mean, you know who's on his staff, by the way?
No.
I found this out weirdly. It's the head coach of the Fairleigh Dickinson team that beat Purdue.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tobin Anderson, I think is his name.
Probably is his associate head coach.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually a pretty good staff hire. Yeah. So they're going to be – it's a good staff. I don't know who else is on it, but I noticed that he's on it. And so –
staff won't matter as much, though, as how much they're paying in NIL
that's
and whether
exactly
they're
right.
doing it.
No,
let's
no, that's
be real.
A good
that's
point.
Where we're at.
I mean, if you don't have the horses, then it don't matter who's on your bench.
You know? John Wooden over there, buddy.
Yep. Yep. You could have – you know, if you got NIL, you could have, you know – The
me and you.
Odyssey cleaning crew, right? I mean, you could just have anybody on that thing, and we rolling. So, yeah.
Odyssey cleaning crew does a fine job.
They do a great job. I'm just saying, I don't know if they have any college basketball experience. It wouldn't matter.
They might take us to the Sweet 16.
They might, man. They'd be getting
if you
it
give them the money.
That's all they need is their
I trust Dolores. She'd do great.
Man, let's get Dolores on that staff.
Y'all to have her on air here in a minute, I can tell.
There's an there's an opening now that who'd we lose? Nolan Smith. Has that ever been?
I thought there's like two. I thought that's what we learned is there's kind of two openings or something. Maybe it's just one. I get confused.
I got it too.
Who knows? Penny hires these guys right before the season. In some cases, that last one he needs, it's one or two.
Yeah, it used to be like really simple. There were three spots.
There'd been some kind of speculation about Todd Day. That's kind of died down.
Yeah, didn't you have him on the show while I was gone?
No.
Oh, I thought you were trying to. Put his name in the ring.
Did not have Todd Day on the show while you were.
Well, he has been mentioned for several years, but I don't know. Who knows? We're getting pretty close to the season, so maybe Pitty has in the past.
No, Jermaine got promoted up to one,
so he's an official assistant.
Yeah.
All right, so that could be what it was.
Well, I think there's still another.
And then they just share his.
They just
they
roll
split his duties, and they lose the salary.
It's not. I don't think it's going to add any wins. In
right.
terms of who's Agreed. Added at this point.
Agreed. Anyway, Rob Bush will join us at 1:25. So that is the show today. Penny Hardaway spoke yesterday. Penny.
We knew that. We kind of talked about it. How did we miss this part?
I don't know.
I thought we got all of it, but I guess we didn't. My bad, Penny.
It's tough.
I tried to glue in for every word. We're doing the show at the same time. It's tough.
Well, yeah. When these press conferences are going on at during the show, it's very difficult to follow, you know, we're not there, right? We're not watching. We're not there. We're just kind of doing our best
with the ex posts from the various reporters who were there.
Right.
Jeff was there, and so he got a full you know, the full gamut from Penny. And Penny had a lot of things to say, but one of the main messages was that the fandemonium, is the word he used, the fandemonium is gone from Memphis, and that they need to get it back. And basically that just means, like, you know, hype. That just means, like, you know, when he got the job, I mean, fandemonium was crazy. That 20, I mean, we were having on the guy that sold him a Sprinter van or something.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Souped it up.
Yeah, wrapped it or something. And that's how crazy it was. We're tracking these guys down. Hey, what was it like to wrap Penny's van? I mean, insanity, bro. That was pandemonium. And then the year after that, of course, they had the number one recruiting class with James Wiseman and Precious. And maybe it wasn't number one, but it was close. DJ Jeffries, Les Quinones, et cetera. Trina Wapper was in there. I mean, we were doing all that, right? And then sort of progressively, you know, year after year, I mean, a lot of things happen. COVID happens. NIL happens. Transfer portal happens. And so I do think that it's just been kind of body blow after body blow on top of lack of tournament success. Have finally gotten the program to a place where they're going consistently, which is definitely good, but have not taken that next step. So, you know, Pig talked about, and then there's another thing, which is downtown Memphis, which is the state of downtown Memphis. And that seemed to be kind of where most of his focus was in terms of diagnosing the issue, is the dark cloud hanging over of the Memphis area in downtown Memphis. But that was sort of his diagnosis, that, you know, they got to find a way to get it back.
He also talked about the year-to-year turnover.
Right, right.
As what he gets most from fans. I think that's important to factor in as well.
Yep.
You touched on a lot there. I want to make sure we had it all.
Yes.
That's the key here, is that there's no one thing.
There's
no one thing that's going to get you back to the Cal days.
Correct.
I don't think it's one Sweet 16 appearance, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, you go from the 9,000 or so season tickets or whatever it was in that range between 9 and 10 that you were Penny's first year to all of a sudden back to, what, 14? Whatever your top was at that point.
Right.
I don't think we're there. That's part of this.
Yep.
College athletics. Everything's on television. You know, Memphis got a lot of Sunday games. You know, there's a lot of factors.
Right.
I'm not trying to put that Sunday game thing up there, but that's part of
here's
it.
Here's one. The Memphis Grizzlies.
In town. And you know what? Yeah, they traded Desmond Bane. But you know who I know is going to be back? Whether he plays 50-something games tonight, we don't know. But John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., my point is my kid's getting tied to them as opposed to, and that's what Penny's talking about that he hears from fans, I can't connect to this team. I'm the old blue hair. I can't connect to this team anymore because I don't know who's going to be on it.
That's right.
And when I watch you, Penny, do a great job developing a guy like P.J. Haggerty, right, and he goes, and oh my gosh, I was so proud of him. He's second team AP All-American, and we got a chance to get him back. We've got a great offer for him and everything. Why would he leave?
Right.
He wants to be a point guard in the league. He's going to learn from Penny Hardaway. And you see him go to Kansas State. That's, I truly think, you know, there's winning. There's the part that Penny can control, which is that. And listen, you need to make Sweet 16 here. You've got competition now, like John says. There's that part, but there's also the part that's out of his control, the transactional nature of college athletics now, and how a P.J. Haggerty, after having a great season at Memphis, a 5 seed, by all accounts it was a success for him, second team AP All-American, is playing for less money at Kansas State this year. How do you get up for that?
Right.
How do you buy the next man's jersey if he's going to be gone a year later and he's still got college eligibility? That's not the same connection. You know, the funny thing about Tigers fans, and I'll leave it at this, just on this point. If you talk to folks that have loved this program for decades, you know, there's moments, 08, CDR's dunk over Love and all that. There's moments. But what you kind of come back to is your favorite players, isn't it? Like, you know, Andre Turnover going, you know, to the little general. You know what I mean? I mean, that how he developed and your connection to him. And we can go down the list through the decades and go back to 08. That team had guys, I heard you guys talking about this morning, the team had guys that were here for a year. You watched that team develop, and then, oh, what did you know by the end? It needed one final piece, Derrick Rose. You were so familiar with those guys in that team. We can talk about availabilities and appearances and all that, dude. It's a connection that is lost, I think, in this state of college athletics that's not coming back. That for the most part, now, sure, you may hang on to guys for a while, and that's the part, let's go back to control, winning. Penny's got to find a way. John, you and I have discussed this ad nauseum, to keep more of the roster, right, on a year-to-year basis. We've said it's just hard having to replace the entire roster. The best teams are managing to keep guys. Now, a lot of that's an NIL thing. Penny clearly tried to keep P.J. Haggerty. He's already talked in that availability yesterday about 7 or 8 guys he wants to keep. You've got to get to that if you're going to, again, get the most you can now as it relates to college basketball attendance. This is an issue that's across the board, all sports. It's unique here in Memphis because, let's be real, basketball drove the cart for a long time. But I don't think it's ever going back.
Yep.
There's a lot of factors in this conversation.
I mean, I think, I think there's probably like something makes up 100% of it, right? Like a bunch of different components make up 100% of it. I would say probably lack of deep tournament success would be the biggest. That's what I would, and it's not just on Penny, right? This predates him. We're talking about 16 years of tournament ineptitude. That's a lot. That's a long ass time for a program that at one point, caucus will do the math for you, it was once every 4 years.
Yeah.
Now it's been 4 times that, and they haven't been. So I would say that is probably the biggest component. I think secondly, it would be lack of continuity, lack of connection. Mm-hmm. Slash college climate.
Slash right? New teams every year.
Right.
That goes back to something Penny can control. You find a balance where you're keeping 7-8. He's already talked about this himself. This ain't some new idea we've got here.
Right.
We said he's got to get to this.
Because we talk about these Cal days. Not only was he good, those guys were all returners, right? Like Chris CDR, you know, Joey
Dozier,
Dorsey,
all those guys.
Antonio Anderson, you know, the only exception was Derrick Rose for the most part.
You had them coming in, you had them as a group for years.
Yes, exactly.
And you watched them develop and grow together.
That was a special thing to be able to do.
But that previously had always been the case, whether
that's
it was
exactly
those 80s teams or whatever else. Like, you would have those guys for years. Sure, you'd have a couple lose, a couple transfers, whatever else, but you knew the core. You knew they'd be back. You knew they'd be better, and you loved them. You loved their story. You loved everything else about them.
Yep.
Now he's up out of here after a year.
100%. So I think that's the biggest. I think so. Like, let's say 40%.
You're saying those are the two biggest factors.
I think they're the two biggest factors for sure. I mean, then you can get into like, all right, Grizzlies' existence because you're competing with time and dollar.
Television. In terms of what it's done now to make just about every game available for you.
That's correct.
And so if you've got a Sunday after, and it's conflicting with church, and now, hey, every game's on, it's just more convenient for folks. COVID, let's be real. And anything, nothing's been the same since COVID. I know Tennessee fans right now are saying, man, we're sold out for Duke in an exhibition game. What you talking about?
Yep.
But it impacted us here in a city that's, you know, again, you have choices.
Yep.
And a lot of our city operates below the poverty level, right at it. If you've got a choice,
that's right.
When you're in that boat, you tell me, which one are you picking now? Which one's the more dependable thing, just
that's
in
exactly
terms
right.
of things you recognize on a year-to-year
basis? Well, because the commonality with most of these Power Four teams is that they exist in college towns. They just do.
Tennessee has that advantage, but I'm not going to take away from Rick Barnes has it.
100%.
That's a part of it. But your point is, I'm glad you made it, because that's a key there. That's the pro team for them folks.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
It's what Memphis used
in
to
Knoxville.
Be before
it's
the
what
Grizzlies
we used
showed
to
up.
Be. Now the Grizzlies they got
that's
a freaking
right.
superstar.
That's right.
You know, we'd like them to play more.
That's
we
right.
feel like he's got more potential. But that's a draw, bro.
Yes.
And if you're trying to create the next generation of fans or get people hooked in,
yes.
You tell me what you're taking, the Memphis and this is, again, no, not pitting them, but which one are you taking if you're the little kid? The Memphis basketball team has got a whole new roster every year, and you can't get familiar with them, or Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, because, dude, go to Washington, D.C.
That's a part of it.
Okay? Let's just take Washington, D.C. for an example. Georgetown, highly traditional perennial at one point power with John Thompson in the 80s, et cetera. Like
falling on the way off.
They averaged 5,600, and they play at Capital One Arena, Jason. Mm-hmm. They averaged 5,600 people a game last year.
That's more than Memphis. Oh, actual butts and seats?
Well, that's just what they,
okay.
It's the same
that's
announced.
Okay.
Right, it's the same. It's, I don't
ours
have,
is different on those
right,
two, yeah.
Right, it's massive, and I assume theirs probably would be too, but I don't know that for a fact. I just have the same raw number, right?
Got it.
They average 5,600 a game because people would rather go to a Capitals game. They would rather go to a Wizards game.
That's
they would rather go to a Commanders game. They would rather do all the, you know, there's things to do. A Ravens game, you know, I mean, a DMV area. So when you have choices like this, you know, the reality is that the pro people come here, they would come here and they'd say, man, how is it possible that this was, you know, a long time ago, But how is it possible the Grizzlies are second fiddle to the Tigers in a pro town?
It would blow their mind.
Yes. And so if this is that, the way it's supposed
to be. That was a unique era.
Yes.
I mean, you opened up an NBA building where the college town filled it up regularly, and you could depend on it.
That's exactly right.
Different era. That team has, let's be real, the roots in this city have grown. They've gotten players that you've fallen in love with and been the two seed, you know, a couple of times and made the playoffs and had some success in the playoffs. So, you know, that's a choice now that you didn't have previously or in the same way. Because, again, the Grizzlies were just getting here. Tiger basketball had been the pro team.
Exactly.
So there's clearly been a shift.
I think there's been a shift. I think that hurts. I think the fact that
competition.
And then again, like, it's the shift combined with the fact that you haven't really, as a product, done enough to make people choose you. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Like, you're not getting the casual people that might have gone to a Memphis basketball game under the Cal era over a Grizzlies game because you haven't had that tournament success. And I'm going to say maybe this is 2 or 3%. You don't have – who do we get excited to play annually? Where's the rivalry? We used to have those. We used to have Tennessee. We used to have
– needs to be mentioned.
Louisville, Cincinnati, all these teams. Lots of history between these programs, right? And until now, until this year, none of those teams were on the schedule. Louisville's coming back, right? But you don't have that. Ole Miss, I'm sorry. It's just – it's not quite the same. It's not quite the same. So you missed on that.
But I would just say to that, and you're absolutely right about the schedule. But on Louisville, that rivalry at this point, there's a certain group of the fan base. There's a certain portion of the fan base.
Only a few.
Let's be real. It's been gone so long. It maybe not have the same pop. But my point, Penny's doing everything he can on that part of it that he can control on the non-conference schedule.
No, he's done a great job. He's done a great job. It's just Tennessee refuses to play you after the
– Oh, it hurts.
It hurts. And
hurts right now, especially with where their brand is. You just have to say it.
I think, you know, you haven't really been able to form new ones as part of this bad league.
I like where we
haven't talked about the league. I mean that's probably a huge part of it as well.
Dude, it socks you for a whole couple of months, 3 months in terms of actual interest in the rest of your schedule.
That's exactly
going
right.
To see you. You're not going to have any fandemonium, you know, going out
playing
there to
Tulsa,
play Rice,
East Carolina.
How do I get up for that? Especially when all those teams are bad now and nobody else out of this thing's making the tournament.
UTSA basketball. So it's all those things.
But to bring us back around, because I think you and I agree that if you're making, and I would say multiple deep runs, because I think when you've been out for 16 years, I don't think necessarily one.
Well, especially
Sweet 16
when you're going to lose that entire team.
There is another level up, though.
Yep.
We both agree when it comes to attendance that you can get to even in this new era by having a team that's consistently making runs. When I say runs, I'm talking about to second weekend. You haven't done that. John's right. It's not just Penny. That goes back to Josh, man. Folks have gotten worn out. The Tubby disasters included. So, yeah. You got, three head coaches in there?
Yep.
And you're worn out. And that's why I don't think one fixes it to where you're back to 12,000 season
tickets.
No, I
agree.
You know what
I'm saying? With that.
It would take you getting back up. Penny seems to want to do that. I mean, he seems like he's even in the state of college athletics, losing P.J. Haggerty's, he seems to want to get it to that. Okay, that's what you can control. Can you get it to where Rick Barnes has got Tennessee right now?
Right.
Yeah, because I do think that's a level up, but you ain't getting back.
Agreed.
To Cal era stuff, bro.
Agreed.
Like, we can put the period on it right there. Those days are done. This was still the city's pro team even then.
Right.
Because Grizzlies were just getting started, bro.
Yeah, it won't go back to that. It doesn't have to go back to that. If it went back to 75% of that, I think it would be a big win for Memphis basketball in 2025 and beyond.
In this day and age in college athletics, it would be a win.
Yeah, because I went through and I looked at the programs in college basketball that have had a Sweet 16 drought of 11 years or longer. And I kind of like, if you want to extrapolate it to 16 years, the list is going to be even shorter. I was a little liberal with that.
I mean, that's done damage to the brand. We have to be honest with ourselves here, not making a Sweet 16.
I mean, Georgetown averages 5,600 people a game.
That I'm thinking that's real. That's an announced.
Announced, yeah. I mean, because
right.
I went the
so
document.
It must look nasty.
The document has Memphis as averaging 11,700.
Yeah, that's
right?
The same. That's announced. Because we were at 4,000-something actual
right.
butts and seats.
But
I'm sorry, that's season tickets.
Yeah, exactly. But
6,000-something on butts and seats.
So I mean, that's a tough one. I'm sure, you know, but Memphis does stand out amongst that crowd with that number, right? Like, I don't know if those are tickets sold or whatever the case may be, but obviously they are. They stand out. I mean, Dayton averages 13,000. They went to a Sweet 16 in 2014. Utah State averages 8,000 a game, you know, in Logan, which, of course, Memphis plays at this season, which will be a fun game. And then it's basically just Boise. Boise averages 11,000 a game, which is very impressive. Would have never guessed that in a million years they average that many people for basketball. But that's it. Those are the teams that have Sweet 16 droughts or have never made the Sweet 16 who average 10,000 or more. It's Memphis, Dayton, Boise State, 10,000 or more, which, again, I know it's not announced. Still very impressive. But I do think to get it back to where, you know, we feel like it's not just a inflated, fluffed-up number and it's actually people, you're going to have to address the conference. You're going to have to address lack of tournament success.
It's like chopping down a tree. You're not going to get it in one whack.
That's right.
Like, Penny's going to have to get to this point he wants to of having 7, 8, 9 guys back. Those are the best teams in college. Dude, you wrote the piece last year. The best teams in college basketball were teams that had guys back last.
Exactly.
And that's what Penny said in his availability. That's what he's got to get to. Then, hopefully, with that comes the consistent runs. And then, hopefully, with that, you're maximizing what you can do now in terms of with your brand in a town, in an NBA town, where that team is now firmly entrenched.
Exactly.
I mean, there's always going to be the competition at this point. It's become harder for the coach at Memphis, especially when you got a potential superstar in the building when the Grizzlies are playing. Now, he might not always be on the floor.
Yep.
But you've got that choice option now for folks.
Exactly.
That's the way that Penny gets there, but it's a chopping down of the tree.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And that's what I wonder is, man, is he that committed?
Right.
What are we, year eight? He was like, man, I can't believe this is year eight.
Is
he that committed? Because it's going to take more chops.
It is going to take more chops.
In a way, as much as we have to acknowledge his lack of tournament success, but in a way, that's why I'm glad it's Penny Hardaway. Because he ain't going to go, if he's going to do college basketball, it's going to be here, and we know what he's in it for.
Yep.
To fix this.
Yep.
To chop that tree down. But he's got way more. He's got more wax to take, man.
He does. He does.
We're sticking with that analogy.
It ain't going to be easy.
Nah, there's a lot more to cut.
It's doable, but it's going to be tough.
Is it a redwood he's trying to cut down? Like, what kind of tree is this?
I don't know.
In this day and age, I mean, it's tough.
Whatever the hardest tree to chop down is.
Big redwood is like you could drive a car through it, right? I've never been out there. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, I mean, if the Grizzlies became a perennial lottery team again, and
oh my lord,
you know, which we would not trade. I mean, you would not trade that. You don't want to be that. It's possible.
You can get there. You can get it back up. You can get the pandemonium back.
But yeah, it's just going to take a hellacious effort. Is the point? But interesting stuff there from Penny yesterday, talking about something that we've all kind of quietly acknowledged and known, but certainly vocalizing it yesterday. In his press conference. All right, we'll come back. Norton Hurd IV is going to join us. We'll talk to him about this and more. Jason and John, I just trying to...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
FM ESPN.
His name is Norton Hurd IV. We call him Coach around here at 929 FM ESPN. He's our coach, Team Thad program director, and coach, Silverwave Media's top 100 most influential people in men's college basketball for 2025. I'm expecting him to make it in 2026. Mitchell High product and Walker Homes finest. You can follow him on X at Dream Big Hurd and on IG at I Am Coach Hurd. Coach, we were just talking about Memphis Tiger basketball attendance because that's what Penny Hardaway was talking about yesterday during his media availability. He talked about the pandemonium is gone. You know, he's trying to, you know, whether, you know, it's the transactional nature of college athletics, losing guys, having to, you know, do whole new rosters. That's contributed to it. A lot of factors. John and I just kind of went through them. I'm just curious. Now, it's been a long time since Norton Hurd IV had to buy a Tigers basketball ticket. So let's understand that you're different to start this question. That said, Hurd, you know a lot of folks in Memphis. You are tied in all over this town. What would it take for that program? And some things have changed. Key one is the Grizzlies. Grizzlies got Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr. What would it take for Memphis, right, and Penny Hardaway in terms of year-to-year success? What does it look like to get those numbers back up, to get it to a point where at least Penny is saying the fandemonium is back?
So I will say this, too, y'all know how much I love the Grizzlies, especially Jaren and Ja and, you know, one important time, Dez, and what they have brought to this city. I mean, you have celebrities that we don't even know that's in town, that be in town, right, coming to their games. But with that being said, I think I speak for this city and this fan base when I say the Tigers would always be the city first love, right? It would always be the city ultimate love. Like an NBA team supposed to get more excitement, and when I say this is not me politicking for anybody, but that's why I think in the era we're in now, you can really never take for granted I lose Penny Hardaway as the coach. And you might be like, what you mean by that, Hurd? But what I mean is, because it has become transactional, because you would not have teams no more that start from freshman to senior years, because you would have 10 kids change every year, the main thing I think that keep it the Memphis homegrown love is Penny Hardaway. And so I think, like you said, because you're not going to keep the same roster, that's a kind of going to get people not as involved. But I think Tiger basketball, as long as you're winning, is one of the most passionate fan bases, and I think it still will do great things. It's just that, you know, relationship-wise, you're not going to, you know, have a person you probably get to know for 2, 3, 4 years, and that's not a Memphis thing. That's just where, you know, college basketball have gone.
Yeah, it does feel like it's you know, it's just we have more, you know, we have more things at our fingertips. We have it's easier to watch games. It's easier to, you know, chill instead of going down. I mean, it's just everything is. I think convenience is probably a part of this, right, Hurd? Like, yeah, I can. If there's 16 games I want to watch on a Tuesday night in college basketball, I gotta stay at the house.
I think that's an easy cop out because I mean if you're a Tiger fan, though, although you want to see other games, you're not a fan of all 16 teams. If so, then you're not a fan, right? You're just a fan of the game.
Right.
So if you're a Tiger fan, I mean, whether you at home or you go, like I'm a 49er fan, and I support the Titans. So on Sundays, I'm still only – I don't care if Lamar Jackson is playing Josh Allen. Like, I'm tuned in with the 49ers. You feel what I mean? I'm going to be tuned in with them. And then if I get a break, if not, so be it, right? And so I'm going to be real with you, John. I've been like that. You know, I tell y'all on here, I do prefer to go to my refrigerator on breaks instead of the concession stand. I prefer not to have to worry about parking and all of that. But I thought I was odd because I was doing that years ago. You remember, Jason, I used to tell you college coaches around the world would get on me for not coming to a lot of games, right? But – I think true Tiger fans, no, getting up, going to that stadium, that's a cop-out. You know what I'm saying? College stadiums are packed all across this country, and we should continue it here. I think it's more so – and I can be wrong, John. I think outside the convenience, it's just more so. When we start winning, they go be there. I think it's because they can't take players like Keith Lee and Andre Turner and CDR. And I do think this is a city that's about relationships. And unfortunately, they won't get to know the kids 2, 3, 4 years like they have grown to love and see around.
I do. When you say, and I'm paraphrasing because I didn't write it down when you said it, but that it'll always be sort of number one in folks' hearts. There's a part of me, Hurd, that subscribes to that 100%. I mean, I was, you know, worked at the CA covering the Tigers basketball beat is the reason I'm sitting here right now looking at my boss, Brad, and John Martin. Like the interest in that beat and what it's meant to that city. But I'd ask you, how old is your daughter?
My daughter is 9.
Okay, and my son's 11. You know, are they coming up Tigers right now, Hurd? Because when you talk about it always being number one, well, you've got to create new generations of fans, right? And, man, I want Chris to be a Tigers fan. I'm sure you'd love for your daughter to be. Maybe she already is, and you're going to educate me. But right now, he doesn't have anything to hold on to, right? And so that idea that where you got to keep creating new generations of fans to keep it number one, I just think we've reached a point now, you know, where some, you know, you haven't made a Sweet 16 since 09, and that just ain't Penny, as John has pointed out. That's Tubby. That's Josh. Some real damage to the program. Do we have the ones that are coming up, Tiger, Herd, your daughter, my kid, enough to keep it number one, as you say? I just wonder if that shift is not something that's going to stay this way, you know, that shift to Grizzlies and being a pro town.
You know what? You actually just that was a good twist you put on that. I hadn't looked at it like that. I would say anybody from the age of 20 to 100, Tiger would be their first love. As far as the younger kids, wow, you, man, now I got to give John credit on this. They got their hands on so much stuff. I don't even know if they really even following. You know what I mean?
You got to give them something. Yep.
As passionate as us. I mean, they got just so many, just so much stuff that they, devices and this and that. They don't pay attention to anything. I don't want to sound like that old father or whatever. So, yeah, with them, you might have to make another run. But I still think, like, if me and you raise them right, at the end of the day, it's 20-some thousand people that still attend the University of Memphis every year. So that alone crossing over, even if you get half of them to stay true, I think everything, you know, will be okay from that standpoint. Another thing I didn't think about with me having a daughter, I forgot it is a lot of women fans. But, Jen, I actually forgot how passionate women are about, because I don't know that many passionate women Grizzly or Tiger fan. Most people I talk to sports about is men. So I forgot about that aspect. But a lot of girls I know, they're more just casual fans, or if somebody in their family like it, but not as diehard as us. That's, you know, from the relationships I have.
Yeah, well, it's a hard problem to tackle. You know, it really is. It's not, I don't think there's a one thing fits all. But let me pose this to you. If Memphis, you know, could make, obviously going to, what was it, three straight Elite Eights or something like that with Cal, I mean, I think that's a hard thing to ask. But if Memphis basketball, regardless of who the coach is, could get to a point to where they were going to the Sweet 16 once every 4 years like they used to do, or 2 in 4 years, like, do you think that would be something that the city would and the community would respond to? Tournament success on the regular.
Man, yes, John. I mean, that's success, and success bring out more love and passion. Now, I do think it'd still be even better if Penny, the coach, or some hometown recognizable, Miffian. But yeah, like you say, any coach, yeah, you're making a Sweet 16 every few years, every 3-4 years, it'd be great. I think Penny make it greater. But I still think, John, unfortunately, a little of the edge will still be gone, because I just think people here relate to people that they feel like they can touch and people they can build a relationship with. And I just think this new era, like, think about it. Even when Cal was doing one and done here at Memphis, he wasn't doing it as crazy as Kentucky. You know, even when you brought in Derrick Rose and Tyreek Evans, we would have veteran guys around. We would have Dorsey is here 4 years, CDR here 3-4 years, Antonio Anderson 3-4 years, Willie Kemp. Let me go on and on. You know, Sean and Courtney are leaving 2 years, but it's like we still had guys that was here in the community for 3-4 years that the fans grew to love. Even if you stop liking how they played on the court, they would be so cool that you'd run into in the community that people would just love the Tigers.
I heard. I would ask you, this Tigers team, we're all still learning about them. Nobody knows how good or, you know, what this team is going to look like. We do know the pieces, how they're going to come together is what we've got to figure out. I just ask you, if they don't have Sincere Parker, because his court dates, unfortunately for them, so far have continued to be pushed back. I think the latest is right up against the start of the regular season. If they don't have Sincere, does it change your expectations at all for this team? Like, how much of a blow would that be in your eyes if Parker's not available for this team?
I think he's really important. So I would definitely think it would be somewhat of a blow. But, you know, basketball is tricky too, Jason and John and Brad. You know, on one hand, you can look at stats and you can say, if this person gone, we're going to be, you know, worse. But then on the other hand, I didn't see some times where, like, let's take a few years ago. I know this ain't the greatest example, but people really thought we were going to be, you know, really awful with David Jones leaving. And then we got the crew of uncertainty people like PJ and all them, and they actually matched together more.
Yeah.
And then I remember being on the on this show and other shows where people was like, what if they had David, we would be better. And some people said, no, I don't think he fit. You feel what I mean?
Yes.
And so chemistry and other things play a role in it. I'm sure it's an X factor that we're not even talking about that's on this current team. But he definitely came into the year thinking that he would do big things. So I hope everything works out with that. But I think it definitely be a blow. But depending, you know, as always a kid, I'm going to be real with you in sports, who, whether they can do it or not, they think if they got an opportunity, they can, right? And so somebody that have an opportunity to prove theirself if it, you know, go that long.
What's your fundamental stance on player comparisons? Like do you find yourself like, man, you know, this kid reminds me of an eight-time All-Star or the Hall of Famer. I'm not trying to say no names, but you know, I feel like a certain rookie Memphis Grizzly is dealing with that right now.
So player comparison for me, like when people talk about high school kids, I kind of don't really do it. And I want to double down and say I hate it, but don't use such a strong word, because I don't like when people, like, I try to find, if I'm going to do player comparison, I kind of try to find somebody who kind of average to compare them to, because I be thinking it's crazy for me to, like, say a high school kid reminds me of, like, LeBron or Steph Curry. You know, I just think it's kind of crazy when you go, like, Kawhi Leonard, you go 8-10 times. Me, personally, I do. But most people do those comparisons. But I just think it's a kind of, you know, to me, it sets the bar a little too crazy. That's just me. I don't know why I don't fully like that.
Herd, I'm going to ask you to take your Team Thad shirt off for a second. And I'm going to put you on the spot. I know a lot of times you don't like being on the spot if I haven't alerted you beforehand.
Oh, shoot.
I know. Best player in the city, sub-college, right now, regardless of classification, regardless of year, I just want to know, best player in the city right now.
Oh, that's not hard. I appreciate it. I know Jason ain't going to get that crazy. No, that's not hard at all, because I'm a evaluator and a coach at heart.
Yes, you are.
If you play for Team Thad or not, evaluation is how I got where I'm at now, by having to take underrated. To me, the best player in the city is probably Fred Smith. It is Fred Smith, because I'm thinking about the senior class. So I would go, just to up the ante on this, Jason, I would say Fred is the best senior. Dylan Jones is the best junior. Sophomore will probably be DJ at Bartlett and Josh Huggins at Briarcrest. I would say they would be right there top tier for sophomore. Freshman, it's a lot of good them. I don't even want to call them names because I get myself in trouble with if I miss somebody out. But if you say upside, you got Rodney Mack, Cardi, Rodney Mack. I messed up his last night. He's an NBA, and the Caleb kid at Bartlett. But, you know, you got a lot of good people like Roman and them. So I would say, if you just have to say overall, you probably got to go, you know, Fred, just because he's a senior. He's Mr. You know, basketball runner-up, and he didn't put in the work. And so Fred Smith is probably the best overall kid with the best resume right now in the city in the city of Memphis.
I like the way you handled that.
Yep, as always, Herd, nothing but classy. Herd, you're the best, my guy.
Thank you, Coach.
Yes, sir. Take care.
Yes, sir. Norton Herd IV, program director and coach of Team Thad. No, it's extremely and vitally important that I get that correct. Tennessee Collegiate Academy.
Is Fred committed yet?
You know.
Did I miss it?
I think he's committed
in his heart and soul,
exactly,
but not
exactly,
publicly.
Exactly.
I'm waiting on that one.
Yeah.
Fred Smith at Briarcrest for those.
Don't worry. You should be by now. He's been at the same school. He's been a prospect, stud since his basically since he arrived, but especially since his sophomore season.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to that commitment happening, and Fred, restoring. He reminds me of somebody when I see him. Like, I get him confused with somebody. I'm not sure who.
Someone
it is.
That you can't put your finger.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, like he's like Raheem. Like,
your eyes.
He's familiar. Like I don't know if it's like I don't know who it is, but yeah. That'll be awesome to get, got CG3 this year and Tedford.
I say it because it can actually help in terms of the conversation we were having, right? How do you keep fans connected? Well, having some Memphis flavor on that roster can't hurt you.
No, it can't. Never.
Nobody's saying go back to the days of all Memphis. You can't do that anymore. The talent level's not good enough right now. But having those Memphis connections.
You're right.
Those guys, and John just named a couple of them, but getting Fred Smith would add to that.
Exactly.
So yeah, that goes in the gumbo too.
Yep, it does.
In terms of trying to get that attendance back,
it does a lot of things. A lot of things have changed, and I think that's change is rarely great.
Do you eat gumbo, John?
No, I don't do the funky stuff, dog.
Gumbo is not funky, man.
I don't do the what's that?
Here we go.
What's that stuff?
What makes gumbo funky is what I would like to know.
I don't do Brussels sprouts. I think Brussels sprouts the smell is pungent. And
that was
offensive.
A jump. That was a jump from gumbo to Brussels sprouts.
If things
John finds nasty. Is this category?
If it smells funky,
gumbo smells great.
Well, I don't know
depending
what gumbo
upon what
smells
you got
like.
In.
It doesn't get prepared in my house, obviously. But like tuna, gross.
Tuna doesn't smell good, especially if you put those eggs in it.
Tuna is disgusting.
But it's still tasty.
When my wife eats tuna fish, it's like I want to put her out.
Does she make it for the children?
She makes it for herself. And I think maybe occasionally the kids will eat it, but it just leaves a stench in the house.
The eggs, particularly.
Brussels sprouts smells terrible.
Very good for you, though.
But like it creates an odor in the entire restaurant, when somebody orders Brussels. I think it's very inconsiderate. When people order those,
broccoli can do that as well. Create a stink, a stench in your home, but it still tastes very good.
If it smells like that, you know what I'm saying? If it has a smell,
that's how
odor.
I feel. I get that.
Some things smell great. Like when you're grilling a cheeseburger or something, like that's a great smell.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. That's American right there.
When you're frying chicken, it smells great.
Yes, it does. Even in your home,
but there's certain like smells that do not smell great.
Well, I'm just gonna say this, and you haven't had it, and I know you're not gonna, but don't put gumbo in the smells.
No, that might
I'm just saying.
No, that's fair.
I don't think it belongs. It depends on what you're putting in your gumbo.
Right.
Y'all putting some chitlins in that thing or something? Because don't envision it as that.
Yeah.
Man, you got some sausage in there. You got some chicken.
Yeah.
You might have some shrimp in there. You got vegetables. You know, it's cooking
maybe
up.
It's
like a hot soup. It's very
miscast gumbo.
Smells great.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's probably fair. But, like, yeah, chitlins would never. Oxtails, I would never.
Bro, oxtails smell great.
I've never smelled them, but I couldn't do it.
Ham hock.
I couldn't. What is oxtail?
What do you mean, what is it?
Is it ox?
Yeah.
It's ox.
Yeah. It's beef.
It's
beef. I mean, it's ox. It's beef.
I can't. The
I'm not a big eater of oxtail, but my wife's had it. My wife's brought it to the home, and she's given me. I don't enjoy it. I don't think. She's not listening. So I don't think Faith can cook oxtail. You know what I'm saying?
Man, if you
mess that
risky
up, I'm just now her family can.
Yeah. Oh my God. Desiree. You're just doubling down. Yeah, now you're saying her sister cooks it better than she does.
I eat Michael's oxtail. I'll eat Desiree's oxtail. Faith?
Bro, that's crazy that you said it on the air publicly.
Again, it will not get back to her.
See, like, I don't do the frog legs. I don't do that. I think that's just disgusting. I don't
comment on that.
I don't do sushi, raw fish.
Okay,
that's a health hazard.
I feel like your list is very long.
That is extremely long.
You're like Chris. You're picky.
I'm extremely picky. I don't know how people do it.
Do you eat your vegetables?
I do. I love asparagus. I love broccoli.
Oh, you have become.
You know
why?
I love those. But in terms of I'm trying to think, like people love frog legs so much, they can't wait to eat those. I don't do crab. That may make me. A caveman. I don't do the crab. I don't.
Yeah, pretty rubish. Pretty caveman that you haven't tried.
I don't know how people eat crawfish. That is foul.
Once again, we have come together. I will not. I can't do it.
How do you do that?
They say it's fantastic. I'm not biting the head off and sucking the juice.
That is.
I'm not doing it.
You need to go to jail.
Well, it's a bug because it just plays
in
the
dirt. It's a bug. You're eating a bug.
May as well just get ants and eat ants. Eat all bugs come out of the ground.
Where do you
and
stop?
Mud.
Go eat a cockroach, a tarantula.
Exactly. Eat a North Memphis water bug.
Facts.
And let that juice flow all over you. Where, that's what crawfish is.
Honestly, if you, and I know this is going to hit a lot of my audience and our audience, so I.
We're offending a lot of food people right now.
But if you eat crawfish, I think you need to spend minimum 12 months in prison.
No, no.
Minimum.
You're going, they have a whole festival, John. There are people that don't mind
perfect. Let's get
eating the bug.
Let's send the National Guard and have them park there and arrest everyone. We can really get those numbers up. Because I think the fact that you can look at that thing and put your mouth on it, and then, don't look at me, don't talk to me, prison. Brad, are you a crawfish person? You're mysteriously quiet over there.
Not a crawfish person.
All right,
I am a crab person.
I'll do crab.
Crab is not. Crab is
Jason,
different.
Do you like a lot of the stuff he's talking about that he doesn't like? Frog legs, Jason?
No.
Yeah, I do like frog legs.
Crab and crawfish different. Crab is socially acceptable to me.
Yeah.
I just don't like it.
Crab is high dollar if you get good crab.
Yeah.
It's like a delicacy.
It is. It's seafood,
what you
right?
Say.
Yeah.
Crawfish is like.
Good crab is.
It sure is.
That's like eating excrement is what it is.
Wow. I
think it's the same thing. I think it's like you should be
they're
eating.
They're just swamp diggers, Brad.
Yeah.
Just bugs.
I have family from Mississippi, and they do crawfish boils. Yeah,
listen,
they're hardcore down there in Senatobia.
What they eat in Mississippi.
Yeah.
You
go to Coldwater, Mississippi, you're getting yourself some seasoning. Now, I will say to Jason's.
They eat bugs in Mississippi.
Let's go back to the initial point on the gumbo. I think that's a hit or miss thing. Certain families have a recipe that really works well. My wife has a terrific recipe. She puts real meat. She puts shrimp. To Jason's point,
yep.
It's delicious. So
good.
But
so
I think
good.
There are other. I've had other gumbo that's not seasoned properly. That sucks. So right. I think you just have to have the right stuff.
Don't you put like? Don't people put like?
You can put different things. Like he said, it's kind of recipe to your family.
Yeah, it's a lot
kind
of recipe.
What you've decided is good to you.
Have you ever had a seafood boil?
Yeah. I let my wife do the most of that.
I do like it.
I like the potatoes in the boil.
I like the like Jason said. Yeah, I like the other stuff,
and the seasoning
not the
that gets on it. The corn that's in it.
The corn
is
great. The potatoes. I'm with you on that.
The sausage.
Yeah, for sure.
Sausage, delicious.
The shrimp gets a little
wet. I respect. You know, you want to eat some shrimp. You want to eat some crab. You want all that. But again, don't let me catch you eating crawfish. I will call the police.
Listen, my brother-in-law is a big listener of the show, Mike Stewart, down there in Senatobia.
Do I need to call the police?
We need him to listen. I want him to continue listening. Well, Mike, if you're listening, we love your crawfish boil. You're a loyal listener.
Yeah, you offend a lot of crawfish.
Look, we have
people.
To make
these people are hardcore Mississippians, John.
You can't arrest them or call the police on them.
Yeah.
Just
these are your
let
listeners.
Them do that.
I understand that, but like, just like, you people with
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.